Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour. Coming up in a few moments, Spotlight Croatia. An interview with Tracy McClure, who will be reporting for us from this nation's capital, Zagreb. Interviews with the Croatian ambassador to the Holy See, Filip Vučak, and the vice president of the Italo-Croatian Association in Rome, Mira Dužela. And on a different and musical note, we mark the feast of the Ascension. Well, thanks so much for joining me once again. On Saturday, 4th of June, Benedict XVI arrives in Croatia's capital, Zagreb, for a weekend visit. Tracy McClure is currently in Croatia awaiting the Pope's arrival. Before leaving Rome, I asked her why the Pope is visiting Croatia.
Well, he's going for several reasons. I suppose the most important reason would be he's going to celebrate the first National Catholic Families Day in Zagreb. Now, as you said, it's the 4th and 5th of June. The motto of this trip is Together in Christ. It's really a call to overcome the political, the social, and even the wartime differences in that region of the world in the name of Christ. Now, it's going to be the Pope's 19th apostolic visit abroad. It's his 13th in a European country. And if you include his upcoming visit to Berlin in September, he will have visited four countries of the former Eastern Communist bloc by the end of this year. He has traveled previously, of course, to the Czech Republic and to Poland. It is the Pope's first visit to Croatia as Pope, but he has been there before as Cardinal. He'll be staying both Saturday and Sunday in the capital, Zagreb. So it really is a simple trip located in just one city, but it's one full of meaning for the Croatian people spiritually, but also on a national level. This year, Croatia is celebrating its 20th anniversary of independence. You'll remember, Veronica, that Croatia declared independence in 1991 at the start of a vicious war that broke up the former Yugoslav Republic.
Now, it went on a long time, from 91 to 95.
That's right, that's right.
War of independence from Yugoslavia.
But you'll have to remember, too, that Pope John Paul II, now blessed Pope John Paul, was instrumental in obtaining international recognition for the new state of Croatia. The Holy See, of course, was the first to recognize its national identity. And the Croatian people really appreciate that fact. But going back to the reasons of this trip, as I was saying, pastoral is one of the primary importance, the primary reasons for this trip. Some call Croatia Europe's most Catholic country. In fact, 90%, almost 90% of Croatians are Catholic.
It's a tiny country, isn't it? It's about 4 million people.
4.4 million. And as I said before, they're going to be celebrating their first National Day for Croatian Catholic Families on Sunday. And the Pope here is expected to urge them to strengthen their ties to the church. Only 20 or 30% of Catholics go to church on Sundays, and even fewer in the bigger cities. So the Pope is expected to urge them to sort of strengthen their ties to the church and to their faith as they get closer also to becoming full members of the European Union. Now, Croatia, about 6 years ago, started this process of negotiating for EU accession. It's been a long, lengthy process, and it seems that it might come to conclusion this summer, actually. So this is also an important occasion, Pope Benedict being there ahead of the end of the accession process. And if it goes through, they could become a full-fledged member of the European Union by the year 2013. So let's take a couple of looks at some of the highlights, I guess, of this trip.
What are the highlights?
Well, there's going to be a very big prayer vigil, of course, aside from the National Family Day celebration of Mass on Sunday. There's going to be a prayer vigil for young people and vespers with religious in the cathedral, where the Pope will also take a moment to pray at the tomb of Blessed Cardinal Aloysius Stepinac. Now, he headed Croatia's Catholic Church during World War II and is seen by the Church as a martyr for standing up to the communist regime and to Nazism. And he was beatified by Pope John Paul II in his 1998 visit to Croatia.
Pope John Paul went to Croatia 3 times, and you actually went on one of these trips, didn't you?
I did.
Not to Zagreb, though.
No, in fact, I went on the trip in 2003. That was his 100th Jubilee trip abroad, and it was to Croatia. And I met, before leaving for Zagreb, I met with the Croatian ambassador to the Holy See, who told me that the Croatians really appreciated that fact as well, the fact that the Pope chose to have his 100th trip there to Croatia. Well, of course, the first trip by Pope John Paul was in 1994, and that moment was really quite important for Croatia. It was in the middle of the war. One quarter of the country was still occupied at that time, and the war front was only 40 miles from where Pope John Paul held Mass in Zagreb's Hippodrome, which is where Pope Benedict will be celebrating Mass on Sunday. Of course, Pope John Paul also went in 1998. He went to Croatia's biggest Marian shrine, Maria Bistrica, and he beatified Cardinal Stepinac, who, as we said before, was a victim of communism. On that third visit, the one I was on in 2003, the Pope visited the cities on the Adriatic coast. And so with all of those three
very
trips...
Very famous Adriatic coast for touristic reasons.
Of course, you have Dubrovnik, you have Zadar, Rijeka, these areas, these cities, which
these
are so...
populous seaside resorts.
Exactly, for tourists. So with all of those three trips, the Pope had visited all the most important regions of the country.
Well, thank you very much. You'll find a very different Croatia to last time, won't you?
I certainly will. And, you know, I was reading just before coming into studio with you, Cardinal Vinko Pulic of Sarajevo actually was speaking recently to Croatian media, and he said that he was happy that Benedict is coming to Croatia for the first time as Pope. And he said that he thinks that the arrival of the Pope will be a meaningful message for the Croatian nation, whether in Croatia or in Bosnia and Herzegovina. He was particularly grateful that the celebration of Family Day was chosen. And he said, I think this is a very positive reality, meaning about the family in Croatia, which, he said, though, the people of Croatia do not appreciate sufficiently. And he was also calling on people to be more optimistic, more joyful in their outlook for this visit. Apparently, there have been a lot of problems in the media looking with a very negative tone towards this visit. And so he was saying, basically, that he was hoping that the media would genuinely bring something positive into a climate which is fairly wearing. He said, so we need something that will bring joy. So we certainly hope that Pope Benedict will be bringing, and I know he will be bringing, this message of hope and joy.
Now I'd like you to join one of the people Tracy spoke to before leaving Rome. He's no other than the Croatian ambassador to the Holy See, Filip Vučak.
The Holy See has had special relations with Croatia throughout history. The Holy See officially recognized the Republic of Croatia a few days before the other countries did so, during the difficult period of the war, and the Croatian people appreciate it. Today, the relations between the two countries are very good. Proof of this can be seen over the course of 17 years in the three visits of Pope John Paul II, and now the fourth, the visit of Pope Benedict XVI to Croatia. Few countries have been visited so frequently as Croatia. The first visit by Pope John Paul II in 1994, and now the fourth by Pope Benedict XVI in 2011. Croatia's presidents and prime ministers have come for official visits to the Holy See many times, most recently in October 2010, and the current Croatian prime minister, Ms. Jadranka Kosor, attended the great event of the beatification of John Paul II.
I rapporti della Chiesa Cattolica in Croazia e lo Stato sono anche molto buoni grazie ai quattro contratti che regolano la restituzione degli immobili della Chiesa presi durante il comunismo.
The relationship between the Catholic Church and the Croatian state is very good thanks to four agreements that govern the return of property taken from the church during the communist era, education issues and religious education in schools, and issues concerning the military vicariate, etc. These agreements were signed 12 years ago and are overseen by a joint committee of representatives of the government and the church. In the communist period in Croatia, there were no Catholic schools except seminaries, and in recent years, some Catholic schools were founded, including the Catholic University of Zagreb.
As you were saying, this is not the first visit of a pope to Croatia. Can you talk a bit about these past trips? How has Croatia also changed since the visits of Pope John Paul II?
La Croazia è cambiato molto, come questo anno festeggiamo 20 anni della nostra indipendenza, ha cambiato molto la Croazia, cioè, è vero. La prima volta Papa Giovanni Paolo ha visitato...
Croatia has changed a lot. This year we celebrate 20 years of our independence. Pope John Paul II's first visit in 1994 was exceptional because it was the first visit by a pope to Croatia. And what's more, he was the pope who made possible the recognition of Croatia as a state and who called for the end of aggression with a vigor that no other statesman displayed. In 1994, the war wasn't over yet, and one quarter of the country was still occupied. The war front was only 40 miles from where the Pope held Mass for 800,000 faithful in Zagreb's Hippodrome. His second visit in 1998 was equally important because it was in Croatia's biggest Marian shrine, Maria Bistrica, that the Pope beatified Cardinal Stepinac, a victim of communism. Sentenced to 18 years in prison, he died during house arrest 10 years later. The third visit in 2003 was also the Pope's 100th Jubilee trip, and we were all honored that he chose to come to Croatia. During that trip, the Pope also visited the cities on the Adriatic coast, Rijeka, Zadar, and Dubrovnik. With all three trips to Croatia, the Pope visited all the most important regions of the country.
How are Croatians awaiting the arrival of Pope Benedict XVI?
For Croats, the arrival of Pope Benedict XVI in early June is a great event. It's estimated that thousands of faithful will turn out at the Zagreb Hippodrome. 40,000 young people are expected to participate in the evening vigil of June 4th in the main square of Zagreb. On the same day, politicians and cultural representatives and the diplomatic corps will meet the Pope at the Croatian National Theatre. On June 5th, there'll be a meeting with the clergy and evening prayer in the Cathedral of Zagreb. The Pope will also meet the President, as well as the President of the government. A part of the Pope's speech to me on April 11th, upon delivery of my letters of credence as new ambassador to the Holy See, focused on the European Union. The Holy See, as does Croatia, doesn't want Croatia to lose its identity after EU membership. Even if it is a small member, it brings something new to the European Union, and in a particular way, it brings its Christian roots.
È un membro piccolo che parte qualcosa di nuovo in Unione, in particolare modo le sue radici cristiane.
When do you expect Croatia to become a full member of the European Union, and what will it bring to the EU?
Allora, i negoziati tra la Croazia e l'Unione durano già da 6 anni. I negoziati sono quasi finiti.
The negotiations between Croatia and the European Union have already been going on for 6 years. The negotiations are nearly finished. 30 out of 35 chapters have been completed, and we believe that negotiations could end by the end of June. In this case, the contract for accession would be signed by the end of the year. After that, it will go to Parliament for ratification by all members, a process that will take about 18 months. And this means that Croatia could become a member of the EU sometime around mid-2013. But there is a danger that everything could be delayed a few months. The main problem is Chapter 23 on human rights and the judicial system, and many other criteria that must be met. If this chapter is concluded, a proposal will be made to introduce monitoring of this field in Croatia leading up to accession.
Che bisogna soddisfare. Se questo capitolo verrà concluso, si propone di introdurre in monitoraggio per questo campo in Croazia fino al momento dell'adesione.
When you were received by Pope Benedict in audience, the Holy Father spoke of the Croatian Parliament's decision to proclaim 2011 the Boskovic year. This Jesuit Croatian scientist had a special relationship with St. Peter's Basilica here in Rome. How so?
Sì, come questo anno festeggiamo il 300° anniversario del Boskovic che è nato a Dubrovnik.
This year we're celebrating the 300th anniversary of the birth of Boskovic. Born in Dubrovnik, he spent most of his life in Italy. He's buried in a church in Milan. Towards the middle of the 18th century, this scientific genius, together with two French mathematicians, and under the patronage of Pope Benedict XIV, helped restore fissures that had opened in the dome of St. Peter's Basilica. He helped preserve Michelangelo's unsurpassable masterpiece. Testifying to this achievement, we've discovered a small 40-page book written by Boskovic in Italian. In it, he explains his plans to save the dome. And then, as the great mathematician he was, he indicates the exact weight of the dome of the basilica.
Un gran matematico ha dato anche esattamente il peso in chili, 4 chili si sono nella cupola della basilica.
How much does it weigh?
4,081,461
kilos. For this reason, towards the end of this year, we want to organize a symposium on Boskovic at the Pontifical Gregorian University, where he himself taught. We're also planning an exhibition and a symposium involving Croatians, Catholics, and others familiar with Boskovic's work. And we'd also like, if possible, to place a memorial plaque directly on the dome of the Basilica or in the Vatican to commemorate Boskovic's work and especially his efforts to preserve the dome.
La Basilica o sulla cupola in Basilica o in Vaticano per commemorare tutto che ha fatto anche per salvazione della cupola di San Pietro.
That was the Croatian ambassador to the Holy See, Filip Vučak. Another Croatian Tracy spoke to earlier in the week is the vice president of the Italo-Croatian Association in Rome, Mira Dugela.
Pope Benedict XVI is going to visit us, and it's the fourth visit in 16 years. For us, it's such a gift because we are a country that is literally fighting to enter the European community, to overcome the many obstacles that arise along our path, which was not easy and simple in these last 20 years, even though our history is deeply European and we are always been part of it since the 7th century, despite we are a small country with only 4 million inhabitants. We hope that the visit of the Holy Father will give strength to our identity and protect our country, which lies on the border between East and West, so near and at the same time so far from everything. His visit gives us the strength to transmit Christian values in our country and among our people, who are mostly Catholic. On behalf of the Croats in Rome, and if I'm allowed, also of the Croats in Italy, I would like to thank the Holy See for continuous support to my country and to my countrymen. I wish the Holy Father a welcome in Croatia.
Can I ask you, your family came before the war to Italy, but they must have had many friends who remained in that region.
Yes,
during the war. How did it affect people's lives?
It was very difficult because it's not only for my family, because a lot of families comes before the war in the 17 years, for example. It was very difficult in the first months of the war to try to speak, to know the real news in those areas. So it was very difficult to keep in touch with all our relatives, friends and everything. So We tried to go there, even if there was a war, so it was difficult
and
to
get. Dangerous.
It's yeah. dangerous, but danger, it's not the worst, the first feeling. I don't know how to explain, because we wanted to know and to see all our relatives and friends. It depends on how dangerous it was.
It didn't matter.
It doesn't matter for us, because can tell something by myself, because I had a lot of cousins and my grandmother and my grandfather lived there. So I just want to see them to so that safe.
Yes, right.
It didn't matter the difficult to get to Croatia and the trip all along.
Sure. Are they here now in Italy?
No. They're all in Croatia.
Where do
my
they
parents
live?
Also in Zadar. Uh-huh. Zadar, it's Zara in Italian.
What about the economic crisis? Do people feel that in Croatia?
Yes, but we are not in the European Union, so it's very difficult for us to keep a standard, or I don't know how to explain, because it's economic crisis. But we try to overcome all the difficulties to enter the European community. So we have the kuna, it's not the euro. So it's difficult for us to maintain
a strong currency.
Yes,
right. Okay.
But we had a lot of tourism.
And that was Mira Dujela, the Vice President of the Italo-Croatian Association in Rome. Our thanks go to her and, of course, to Tracy McClure, who will be reporting for us during the next few days on the Pope's apostolic journey to Croatia. Finally, on a different and more musical note, I'd like to mark the Feast of the Ascension. That's with Monsignor Philip Whitmore, who brings us a comment on the second glorious mystery of the Rosary.
Chelos ascendit hodie. Today he ascended into heaven. That uplifting motet for double choir is by Sir Charles Villiers Stanford, a composer little known outside the Anglo-Saxon world, but a towering figure in late Victorian England nevertheless. An Irishman by birth, he became Professor of Music at Cambridge, and he taught for many years at the Royal College of Music in London. As a Protestant, he didn't often have occasion to write Latin motets, but this piece wasn't actually written to be sung in church. It was grace before meals at an Ascension Day banquet in Trinity College, Cambridge. What a marvellous way to begin a festal meal. Chelos ascendit hodie was later published as one of three Latin motets by Stanford, all written in similar circumstances, and now in the repertoire of cathedral choirs. Many of the anthems and motets written for the Feast of the Ascension draw on the text of Psalm 47, O clap your hands. That's because verses 5 and 6 seem particularly appropriate. That was taken from a setting by Orlando Gibbons, who was organist of the Chapel Royal in London in the early 17th century. Now let's listen to a setting of the same words in Latin, written by a contemporary of Gibbons, the composer Peter Phillips, who, like so many English Catholics, had fled to the continent to escape persecution. As you can imagine, there's no shortage of fine choral music to celebrate the Feast of the Lord's Ascension. But I'd like to move on now to consider a remarkable piece of 20th century organ music, written as an extended meditation on this same mystery. L'Ascension by Olivier Messiaen was originally written for orchestra in 1933, but transcribed for organ the following year. The third movement, which we're going to hear now, was added in the organ version. It's called Transport de Joie, Joyful Cries of a Soul Beholding the Glory of Christ, which is also its own. Messiaen was a church organist himself at La Trinité in Paris for over 60 years. The French have a fine tradition of liturgical organ music and especially improvisation. It must have been wonderful to hear Messiaen improvising there Sunday after Sunday. The final movement of L'Ascension is called Prière du Christ montant vers son Père, Prayer of Christ ascending towards the Father. Messiaen bases it on a text from St. John's Gospel. Father, I have made your name known to them. Now I am not in the world any longer, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Slowly and calmly, the music rises, caught up in rapturous contemplation of this timeless mystery.
And our thanks there go to Monsignor Philip Whitmore, a music historian, who's currently working as an official at the Vatican's Secretariat of State. And that brings me up to time. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks so much for listening. Meanwhile, should you wish to check out our website, the address is www.vaticanradio.org. Bye for now. You've been listening to the English programme of Vatican Radio. Laudetur Jesus Christus.